We're talking today with Dr. Jeff Edwards, Extension Wheat Specialist for Oklahoma State University. Jeff, I wanted to do a couple of things with you today. First of all, I wanted to talk about 2012 as kind of an overview and then look into the new year as well with this current crop that's in the ground. But I thought we might go back to the 2012 crop itself that seemingly caught about every break that it could and turned out not too awfully bad for most of our Oklahoma producers.
It did. We caught a lot of lucky breaks in 2012. We came out of winter dormancy, very deficient on moisture. The contrast between what we had in the winter of 2011-2012 and what we're facing now is that we did have a stand across most of the state, and it was hurting for moisture, but it was holding on. And then we caught a few timely rains in the spring, and that carried us through, and it proved what a resilient crop that wheat was. In much of the state, if we'd have caught another rain or two in April, I think it could have been even better.
Overall, as you looked at the test plots that you had around the state, and as you looked at the total crop production that we had in 2012, what are some things, some takeaways maybe regarding varieties, regarding various practices that we did that proved to be especially interesting?
In the harvest year of 2012, a couple of things that stood out as important were tiller management and variety selection. In terms of tiller management, I mentioned that we kind of ran out of moisture there in many areas of the state in April, and as a result, we had really low test weights. And in some cases, the reason we ran out of moisture so quickly was because we had too many tillers out there. We need anywhere from 600 to 900 at harvest to optimize grain yield. In many cases, we had well over 1,000, pushing 1,500, and we simply used up our moisture too quickly. In terms of varieties, we saw a few chinks in the armor of our most popular variety, Duster, this past year. It wasn't a dog, but it was kind of middle of the road in terms of performance. And for me, that should be a wake-up call to everybody, just as we had a wake-up call with Endurance, Jagaline, and Jagger, that you've got to keep an eye out there on newer varieties and be looking for a replacement for your standard variety. And that was a wake-up call this year.
I know some of the newer varieties, some of the newer genetics that have been brought along by Dr. Carver and his team did well.
They did. We've got a couple of new varieties that were just released this year, Gallagher and Iba. Both of them are Duster crosses. Both of them are sons of Duster. Iba has a little bit broader area of adaptation. It'll go all the way up into Kansas, out into the Oklahoma, Texas panhandle, down into Texas. Gallagher, maybe not as broad of an area of adaptation, but in my opinion, Gallagher is the closest thing we've ever had to a true Duster replacement because it grazes like Duster. It'll outproduce Duster in terms of forage production, Hessian fly resistance, acid soil tolerance. So everything that Duster has with better disease resistance and improved seed size, improved yield potential. So if you're a Duster guy, I would really keep my eye on Gallagher in the coming years as something to replace those Duster acres.
When we think about a couple of the takeaways that you learned and you were talking about this summer to our wheat producers, what really do you think we learned as much as anything from that 2012 crop?
Well, we learned that you have to manage the crop and never to count out the crop, or it's never down for the count. We're much too quick many times to say that wheat is dead or that the crop is lost, and I'm guilty of doing that this year. But it goes to show how quickly things can turn around in terms of wheat production, because we were pretty pessimistic whenever we were talking about the 2012 wheat crop back in January of 2012, and it turned around pretty quickly.
December 2012, right now, we're looking at the 2013 crop that's in the ground, and pessimism is kind of the word, I think, maybe for this year, for 2013, at least at this moment.
Yeah, I'm normally an optimist, but I'm pretty pessimistic. the difference in this drought and what we've had in the past is that we do not have a stand of wheat out there in many cases. In the past, we've always had a stand of wheat. Maybe it's enduring some sort of drought stress. It's had a setback or two. But this year, we just simply do not have the stand out there. And in order to have a recovery, you have to have an established stand of wheat, and we don't have it. And then our early sown wheat has gone backwards so severely that I don't know if it will be able to recover. I'm confident that it will not fully recover. But this early sown wheat that is down to just one or two viable tillers that are left, it's turning brown. It's going to have a marginal recovery at best, even if we get moisture.
And of course, we're looking at colder weather, so that always puts some additional stress as this crop goes into normancy.
It does. It adds stress, especially for that wheat that is just poking through the ground, that maybe got some moisture in late November, early December, and finally decided to go ahead and emerge. It doesn't have an established root system. It's barely poking through the ground, and it had enough of moisture to emerge. But that was about it. So it's got a lot of stress on it already. And then you add the stress of a cold snap, freezing temperatures, blowing wind, blowing sand in some cases. And that's a recipe to maybe lose some stands of wheat.
You were saying that maybe 20-30% hadn't even germinated or hadn't established?
That would be my guess. We have a lot of fields out there that have partial stands of wheat where you'll have a green area and then other areas that are brown where the wheat never came up. And then I think we have another percentage, maybe 10 or 20% that just barely poking through or only has one or two leaves. That I would put in the category of underdeveloped and is going to have a tough time making it through the winter. It can still happen, but it's going to have a tough time, and it's going to have an extremely tough time putting on enough tillers in the spring in order to make a decent crop. I think if we're optimistic, we would get maybe one extra additional tiller on each one of those plants, and that's still going to put us at about half the number of heads that we need per square yard at harvest in order to obtain full yield.
So last year, maybe too many tillers. This year, we're going to be struggling to have adequate tillers or even a partial number of what we need.
That's correct. This year we are going to struggle to produce enough tillers on much of this crop that is late emerging. Normally wheat will put on two or three good tillers in the fall if it's sown in October, maybe one or two more in the spring. But this wheat, again, I think a best case scenario is that we're going to put on one additional tiller per plant, and that's going to get us at 350 to maybe 450 heads per square yard, and it's about half of where we'll need to be.
Had any discussions with producers yet regarding crop insurance? Most of them obviously have crop insurance, and with some of these fields that have even germinated, I know that there would be some thought about maybe those are basically declared a disaster.
Right. I haven't had many conversations about crop insurance other than everyone is thankful that it's there. In terms of those late emerging fields or maybe the early sown fields that have gone backwards so severely, the key is to limit inputs on those acres. I would even recommend holding off on top dress, any type of input on those acres to see where we wind up in terms of those acres in crop insurance, because unless things turn around in a hurry, I think we're in a situation where we're going to have a lot of acres that are zeroed out in terms of crop insurance, and the key is to limit inputs right now to see what happens, see if we get some moisture to turn those around and make a call on them then.
So for the next, say, 60 days, 30 to 60 days, what do these guys need to be doing as we turn that calendar and go into 2013?
Well, if you're east of I-35 or if you're one of those pockets around the state that has some decent-looking wheat, you need to take care of it. You need to be thinking about top dress application. This is a year where I would probably make that top dress application a little earlier than normal because our moisture has been so unpredictable. We're going to need some moisture, about a half inch or three quarters of an inch of rain or moisture, to move that nitrogen into the rooting profile. We need the nitrogen into the rooting zone by the time the wheat is joining, which will be late February, early March. So it's important to take care of those acres and go ahead and top dress on acres that look good. On the more marginal acres, I would take a wait-and-see approach. If we wind up with some moisture from snow or rain over the next month or two, there will still be time to get out there and top dress those acres in February and take care of those acres if things turn around and they show some promise. If we continue in this pattern where we have no moisture whatsoever, those acres are going to go ahead and deteriorate, I think, and it'll be a pretty clear-cut case of whether or not you should abandon those acres. So we'll take a wait-and-see approach on those.
So I guess in some cases they might be looking at some sort of a replacement crop this spring to try to get something out of that particular piece of ground.
They could. If we wind up on those acres, abandoning them, and they're zeroed out, we can look at a replacement crop. Grain sorghum is a great option in much of the state. If you have a little bit more moisture available, maybe some corn or soybean, which is a little bit tougher, though, if you don't have a good profile of moisture to plant into. Our cattle producers, you know, there's all kinds of options there of things they can do in terms of planting something to try and get some grazing out there, sorghum Sudan or something along those lines. If we continue in our pattern that we have, though, where we have very limited rainfall and soil moisture storage, you have to be a little bit careful about those summer crops because you're using all of the moisture that's there during the summer, and if it does not get replenished, as it did in this last year, you can have trouble getting a stand of wheat. I'm facing that right now on some of my plots where I grew a cover crop during the summer, which is normally the best practice to do. But I used up all the moisture, and in many cases I failed to get a stand of wheat because of the lack of moisture.
This lack of stand, you indicated that this is a pretty unusual deal.
It is. I don't think we've seen anything like this for the last 50 or 60 years in terms of just not getting a stand. We've been late emerge before. But normally by Thanksgiving, we've gotten enough rain across the state that most of the state has emerged at that point. And this scenario where we just simply have wheat that's still lying in the soil that has not emerged is very unusual. And it's a tough one to deal with. If you just don't have that base there to build off of, it's really tough to recover from that. In some cases, next to impossible to recover from that situation.
All righty, Jeff, thank you very much. Dr. Jeff Edwards, Extension Small Grain Specialist at Oklahoma State University, joining us today on the Oklahoma Farm Report. I'm Ron Hayes.